In 2006, I was courageously backpacking along the beautiful shoreline of Western Scotland. And as I moved along from hostel to hostel, because it's all I could afford at the time, I was a student, I encountered people from different parts of the world. I encountered people from Britain and Wales and Australia and South Africa and Canada, and we all had something in common. Somewhere in our heritage was someone with the name MacDonald, MacLean, MacRae, MacKinnon, Mackenzie, and any other Mac that you can think of, and we were all trying to find our ancestors. Something in us as human beings is wired to lean into this long view of time and discover what makes me me and what makes you you. Ancestry.com, Ancestry.ca, Ancestry DNA, and they kind of promise to us to give us more than just the places you're from. On their website, they say, with geographic detail and clear-cut historical insights, we promise to not only connect you to the places in the world, but to where your story started. What a promise. Today, we are asking similar questions. Where did our story start? Who were these women and men who carried the torch of Jesus? Who are our spiritual ancestors? And I am indebted to Brother Luke from the Society of Saint John the Evangelist for these questions. Who are saints in our family of faith? Who washed your feet? Who showed you God's love? And going back even further, who formed them? These are men and women in our lives who lived with values that were oriented to turning things the right way round, like we heard in the Beatitudes, where poverty and weeping and hunger are experiences that have hidden deep within them gifts of strength and resilience, unexpected gifts. Michelle Obama, and in her time as First Lady of the United States, went from high school to high school into the poorer areas of the United States, and her message was the same, that in these neighborhoods, children had an advantage of growing resilience out of the suffering that they had experienced. And she encouraged them that this is not putting you behind. This is putting you ahead. Something in these experiences is gift, a gift wrapped in barbed wire, a gift we would rather have not experienced. And then the Beatitudes turn something else around. When we get ahead, when we think we are ahead, we actually lose awareness. When we become wealthy, we lose awareness of people living in poverty. When we are fed, we become unaware of those around us who do not have food to eat. And so getting ahead in according to the kingdom of God, according to these values, is actually getting behind. And so when we have men and women in our lives who show us this way, who live out the Beatitudes, they are showing us to do unto others as we would have them do to us, to live lives of justice and mercy, that we favor that over winning. Today, I simply want to read to you a sampling of letters written by some of my spiritual ancestors, These are God's gifts that have been given to me, that have been woven into my story of faith. And as I read them, I invite you to consider your ancestry as you listen. And a little warning, I did not get through this without crying at the 8 o'clock service. So we'll see how I do today. The first is a woman who was born in 1928 and died in 2014, Maya Angelou. And I'm going to read a letter that was from her book, A Letter to My Daughter. She is an American poet, a memoirist, a playwright, and an activist. And her words have been an inspiration to me. Dear daughter, this letter has taken an extraordinary time getting itself together. I have all along known that I wanted to tell you directly of some lessons I have learned and under what conditions I have learned them. My life has been long, and believing that life loves the liver of it, I have dared to try many things, sometimes trembling, but daring still. I have made many mistakes, and no doubt will make more. When I have seen pain, when I have found that my ineptness has caused displeasure, I have learned to accept my responsibility and to forgive myself first, then to apologize to anyone injured by my misreckoning. And since I cannot unlive history, and repentance is all I can offer God, I have hopes that my sincere apologies were accepted. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. Try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Do not complain. Make every effort to change things you do not like. Maybe I took that one a little bit too close to heart. And if you cannot make a change, change the way you have been thinking, because you might find a new solution. Be certain that you do not die without having done something wonderful for humanity. I gave birth to one child, a son, but I have thousands of daughters. My daughters are black and white, Jewish and Muslim, Asian, Spanish-speaking, and Native American. My daughters are fat and thin and pretty and plain and gay and straight and educated and unlettered, and I am speaking to you all. Here is my offering to you. I have been moved by Maya Angelou's poetry. I've been moved by the strength of her voice to stand up for her convictions and to speak out her story. And her faith was grounded in her ancestors. And she wrote a wonderful African-American spiritual in honor of her grandmother. And it goes something like this. You said to lean on your arm, and I'm leaning. You said to trust in your love, and I'm trusting. You said to call on your name, and I'm calling. I'm stepping out on your word. And at the end of this book, she writes, and all I have to do is continue trying to be a Christian. Today I give thanks for the life of Maya Angelou. The second letter I'd like to read to you is from Henry Nouwen, Dutch Catholic priest, author, theologian, and professor, born in 1932, died in 1996. And this letter comes from a book called Love, Henry. And I know it's supposed to be pronounced with a bit of a French lilt, but can't do that, sorry. And it's Letters on the Spiritual Life. And it's addressed to a student by the name of Jim. And I particularly appreciated this letter when I was studying. But still today, weave some of its wisdom into my life. Dear Jim, many thanks for your very good letter. I was happy to hear from you and read about the too much you are experiencing, which is a joy and a burden at the same time. Be sure to keep your priorities straight. When you are in school, don't deal with emergency issues. You are in school to live a hospitable life for yourself, to read, to write, to study, to meditate, to pray, to be alone. If you do not claim that for yourself, you will not have the quiet, restful space where other people can find healing. Sometimes it requires that you are very clear-cut in your decisions and the way you spend your time. I love this. Don't forget the early hours, between 5 and 9. People tend to leave you alone then. Grateful for the life of Henry Nguyen today. And the last letter is from my mom and dad, two people who model faithful service and prayer for me. Our dearest Sharon, on the occasion of your ordination into the priesthood, you were named after the rose of Sharon and the plains of Sharon in the Holy Scriptures. It was our hope and prayer that you would become a follower of Jesus and your faith and commitment blossomed before us from your earliest years. This call to the priesthood, we believe, is a perfect fit for your life and giftedness. We will continue to pray for you every day. We love you dearly and know that God will work in and through you as you touch people's lives. Love, Mom and Dad. So who are the saints in your family of faith? What words and images and memories do you hold in your heart that keep you journeying on this path as a follower of Christ? And who might be following behind you? I would encourage you to write some letters. Maybe it's time to give thanks for saints, to give thanks for each other as saints, and to be that light as saints for those who are following. Amen.